The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, March 18th, 2024. This is the Monday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio, as he is every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's Uncle T-Bone. He's with me here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7. Happy Monday, man. Hope you're doing well. And I think we have a few things to talk about today.
Yeah, just a few things. Welcome aboard, everybody. Give us a call here at On the Line, 334-321-1390. It's Championship Monday here on the Plains. Your Auburn Tigers SEC Tournament Champions for 2024. I went down in the pouring rain with my youngest to Toomer's Corner yesterday and had a ball after the game. Tigers take care of business against the Florida Gators, 86-67, in a weird game that started out pretty horrifically for everybody. Was kind of a rock fight in the first half, and then Auburn just hit its groove in the second half, like we've seen so many times in the last month and a half, and take care of business against a very good Florida team that's in the NCAA tournament. Auburn wins three games against three tourney teams to take the conference championship. Number seven in your AP poll right now that just came out. Number five in the net rankings. That's the NCAA's rankings. Number four in KenPom. Number five in Torvik. And a four seed out in Spokane, Washington, against in the toughest bracket of the tournament. Thanks, committee.
Well, lots of things to break down on the show today. All of what he just talked about and a whole lot more. We're going to have that for you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. We know you got thoughts. We know you got comments and concerns, I'm sure, about everything that's been going on over the last, 24 hours or so since Auburn played in the SEC championship game, won the SEC championship game, and then got shafted in a four seed in the NCAA tournament. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network coming up in hour number two. So we'll have him give us his thoughts on everything going on around Auburn athletics. Before we get to Selection Sunday yesterday, let's talk about the SEC championship. Let's talk about the SEC tournament, Uncle T-Bone, because we went off the air Friday when Auburn was still playing in their game on Friday of the SEC tournament against South Carolina. But at that point, they had already pulled away. They had a pretty big lead. They obviously went on to beat South Carolina. They then played that Mississippi State team on Saturday and then beat them and then played Florida yesterday in the SEC championship. Look, I know that it was upset city across the country in conference tournaments where, what, half of the one seeds lost before they made it to the championship game, and it wasn't what people were, well, I guess it's not what the numbers were expecting, but if you've been watching college basketball, this shouldn't have been a surprise to see what happened over the weekend. And the same thing happened in the SEC tournament. The one seed Tennessee, the two seed Alabama, and the three seed why am I drawing a blank on who the three seed was in the SEC tournament?
Anyway. Kentucky.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I was drawing a blank on that. They all lost before the weekend. Yeah, before they before we got to the weekend. And so Auburn had a pretty good path to win the SEC championship. But let me say this. Let me go ahead. We're just going to go ahead and jump into this right now. For those people that think that Auburn didn't win the SEC championship because they didn't have to play one of those three squads,
okay,
that's wrong. You're wrong. Because guess what? Auburn beat the teams that beat all of those teams
right.
to win the SEC championship. Sorry that you couldn't win a game. Sorry that you couldn't move on to the next round. Sorry you didn't get a chance to take on Auburn. All they did was play the teams in front of them and beat them like a drum.
Sorry you gave your coach a Gus Malzahn-like coaching extension right before the game on Friday.
Boom.
Made him one of the top five coaches in all of college basketball, upwards of about $7 million a year, only to get master blasted by the team that Auburn had to beat in the SEC championship yesterday, 102-88. So I'm picking up what you're laying down, Jacob.
And Auburn took care of business in two out of their three games where they handled it and won by double digits. The other one, they fought for, and it was good to see. It was really good to see.
That's right.
Auburn play that game on Saturday against Mississippi State because it was a 40-minute fight. And we've known this because that Mississippi State team matches up really, really well with Auburn. They just do. They match up well. They play Auburn tough. They beat Auburn in the regular season one time. But Auburn fought through it. Did not have a great offensive performance, but their defense kept them in it the entire way. And they grinded it out 73-66. To get them to the SEC championship game, where all they did after a, you said it, a brutal start, a horrific injury, which was just terrible.
That was awful to watch.
It was awful to watch. I mean, it was a heartbreaking scene.
That's right.
Where you've got tears in the stands, tears on the benches, both teams huddled up praying for his health. And we do pray for him and hope a speedy recovery, however long that takes for him. But then both the teams, I'll give them credit. Both teams, both coaches did a really good job of, and as crappy as this is, you just have to shake it off and move on in that 40 minutes of basketball and worry about that later because there's nothing you can do in that time. And I think both teams did a really good job of that. And this was a great first half, man. 38-30 was the score. Wasn't pretty, but Auburn had to have been feeling pretty good given the fact that Florida hadn't made threes. Auburn didn't do a whole lot on offense, and yet they were up by eight. And then they came out and really dominated the second half, like we've seen them do numerous times. And Auburn wins another double-digit victory, this time to become SEC tournament champs.
Yeah, you're referring to Michael Henlockton, the center for Florida, who broke his leg, whatever you want to call it, right there about 2 minutes into the game. Going for a rebound, did not see the play when it happened, Jacob. Did reviewed it at home afterwards, and
I could not quite tell
what was going on. So I went outside and started. I knew the game was starting back, and my wife was on the other TV, and she found exactly when it happened, and the picture of it is just, it's horrible. It's horrible. It was so bad that, you know, they immediately got him in an air cast. Immediately got him a stretcher, immediately got him over to Vanderbilt Hospital. I have not seen an update on that today. Pretty sure that bone broke through skin and there was blood on the floor that had to be cleaned up. And, man, when you got to sit there and see that on television as a fan, it's very disturbing. I cannot imagine as a player, as a teammate, having to see one of your brothers or one of your competitors down on the court like that because that could happen to anybody at any time.
Yeah.
And it was really just a terrible start to the game when it occurred, and I'm with you on that. As bad as it is, both coaches really got their players locked in, and instead of dwelling on that moment, continue to play a pretty competitive first half of the SEC championship. Wasn't the prettiest basketball I've seen either of those teams play, especially Florida in the last couple of weeks. They just looked completely out of sorts, but that's because Auburn's defense traveled. Auburn got after Florida, especially out on the perimeter. And you said it, three-pointers, Gators, 1-for-13 in the game, almost barely 8% from behind the arc. That's going to get you beat by any team at any time in college basketball.
And not only did Auburn's defense travel, not only did Auburn's defense travel, you know what else traveled? The Auburn fans, the Auburn family, that fan base for Auburn.
Well,
that's all anybody's talked about today, and rightfully so,
right,
about what the atmosphere was like. Man, I knew dozens of people in Nashville this weekend for baseball, basketball. We had friends there for baseball. They said, to heck with watching Auburn get swept on the diamond. We're going to walk into Bridgestone Arena and become a part of one of the best atmospheres in postseason basketball. And the Auburn fans were a huge, huge impact yesterday in that SEC championship game.
Left church right at about 11:30, immediately turned it on to 94.3 Wings. home of the AU Auburn Network. Andy Burcham was getting going with the broadcast. Boy, sounded good. And all you could hear in the background pregame on that drive home on my car radio until I got home was, "Let's go, Auburn. Let's go, Auburn." And you could just tell from the radio broadcast that Tiger fans went to Nashville en masse and took over that stadium, calling it once again Auburn North. And that's a huge, huge advantage for Auburn that they're not going to get the pleasure of in the NCAA tournament for having such a great tournament. The committee just decided to send them out to Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, that's stuff we're going to get into as the show goes on today, because, man, there's a lot of things to say about that. But at the end of the day yesterday, Auburn became SEC tournament champs. They did it again under Bruce Pearl. They beat the teams in front of them. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care that they didn't play Tennessee or Alabama or Kentucky. Guess what? Those teams weren't good enough to get there.
I'm with you. It's not like Vanderbilt got hot and the Tigers ran into them on Friday and kind of got a layup gimme type game, Jacob. I mean, they just beat three tournament teams in a row to get the SEC championship. And all three were playing excellent basketball, not just in the tournament, but really kind of leading up to the tournament and got red hot, especially Florida. They were on fire. They were one of the better teams in the nation.
They still are. I mean, that's a really good Florida team that I think Auburn may not match up well necessarily, but they played extremely well. And, yeah, you're right. Auburn didn't just beat a Vanderbilt or a Georgia. They didn't beat a couple of low-tier non-win teams. They beat NCAA tournament teams, three of them in 3 days. And no, it was not the hardest path that anybody's ever taken in the SEC tournament. But there's something you cannot take away from them is the ring they're going to have on their finger and the banner that they're going to hang inside of Neville for being an SEC tournament champion. And it was a ride that, look, we didn't know what it was going to do. We didn't know what Auburn team was going to show up. That's been a huge issue this season is, okay, what Auburn team's going to play today? Is it going to be the team that has only won one single-digit game all year where they just blow everybody out? Or is it going to be the team that can't shoot and they drop 55 points in their home building? Well, Auburn played good all three games. And as I just mentioned, that Mississippi State game was the first time this season Auburn's won a game by single digits. Isn't that wild to you? Isn't that insane? The fact that Auburn, it took until the SEC tournament semifinals for them to win a game in single digits. That's how good this team is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable stat. That game Saturday against Mississippi State was good for them.
They needed it.
They did. People will look back to 2019 and remember that the Saturday game of that tournament before Auburn played Tennessee on the Sunday and blew them out, the Tigers took on a Mike White-coached Florida team and barely scraped by and got in a rock fight with them. And it was much like this Mississippi State game. Mississippi State tried to out-physical Auburn, and they tried to do it in a way where they could fluster the Tigers. You saw the day before against South Carolina, multiple technical fouls being called in that game, a lot of them on Chad Baker-Mazar. South Carolina was just tired of getting its teeth kicked in again. A combined two wins over the Gamecocks this season by 71 points. Yeah, they're not a big fan of Chad Baker-Mazar in Auburn, so they'd
That's
got
to be
enough.
A record, man. Yeah, that's got to be a record.
And they've had about enough of the Tigers, and there was some pushing, and there was some shoving, and there was some jawing. And I think that Mississippi State kind of saw that, well, look, you know, maybe if we can get in there and do the same thing, we can get Chad Baker-Mazar and a few other guys not only in foul trouble but possible technical foul trouble. And that was an extremely physical game that Mississippi State tried to play against Auburn. The problem is they tried to play it against the one team that's not afraid to get in any kind of rock fight anytime, anywhere. Let's go.
That's right.
That's our game. And ever since Auburn played Kentucky at home, And we were tough. We were tough on the Tigers after that game. Game day was here. Auburn did not look like they showed up. Kentucky dominated. Even though they didn't win every game after that on February 17th, when they went up to Tennessee and Dalton Kinect just went wild and would have beat the Lakers that night, this team's had an edge to it. You can see it in Coach Pearl's eyes. You can just see it in his demeanor. You can see it in his facial expression. And he's like, okay, all right, we're going to fight, and we're going to fight every game. And that's what they do, man. And look, I don't know how the referees – Are we gonna have Pat Adams and crew out in Spokane, Washington?
He's already in the car right now. He's already making the drive.
He's stopping by Vegas probably on the way out there to shake some hands. But I don't really know how referees around the country are going to react to how Auburn plays basketball, especially against a team like Yale. And look, nothing against Yale. That's a fine basketball program that won their conference championship on a last-second buzzer beater against Brown, which is really pretty cool. But still, dude, how are refs around the country going to react to Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, and Chad Baker-Mazar in there just physically pushing on someone or some team the entire game? I think that they're going to freak out.
They might, especially if you haven't seen them or if you haven't watched them or don't know a whole lot about this Auburn team and how they play. Yeah, there's absolutely some concern with that. And those are things that we could talk about today and in the days leading up to Auburn's NCAA tournament game. But Tigers are SEC tournament champions. They take down the Florida Gators 86-67. Confetti fell. The pictures were taken. They're getting their ring sizes, all that good stuff. I want to say this before we get to break. That's a good Florida team. Okay, that's a really good Florida team that's going to win some games coming up this weekend. And I really, 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 really like Todd Golden. I am a fan.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Of Todd Golden. Look, he's a really good coach. People forget he was an assistant here at Auburn for a couple of years. He is a high-level guy. He's a young guy, very smart, very likable. The players love him. And whether it's at Florida or not, that guy's going to win. That guy's going to win some big-time games. And Florida has a chance to have their guy, their next Billy Donovan, if they pay Todd Golden and he continues to do what he's doing, because that's a really good young head coach, man. And if Florida doesn't pay him, he'll go somewhere that will. I'm a huge, huge Todd Golden fan. I really am. I mean, just a class act. Every time he gets on the mic, every time he's talked to.
Well said.
I mean, he's a really, really good dude. And I'm excited, man. Well, I hope he does something good.
Yeah, he's just a perfect example right now of how many talented coaches are in the SEC and how good the programs are in basketball.
Yeah.
And he's an all-around good guy, fantastic coach. And my hat's off to him and good luck to him in the NCAA tournament. If we get to see them, I hope it's in the championship game.
We'll talk some more about Auburn basketball as they are now SEC tournament champs. We'll get into the NCAA tournament stuff as well with Selection Sunday yesterday. Brackets are out and official. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More of the Monday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Lonnie and Lochapoca, what's up, man? How are you?
War Eagle, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Beautiful day here on the plains once again.
Absolutely. Well, I'm proud of Auburn for doing what they did, and you know, that was a great game. I certainly did not expect Auburn to win that tournament. I wasn't shocked that we won it, but I didn't expect it considering the amount of talent in the SEC this year, and certainly didn't expect Kentucky or Tennessee to lose. That being said, and maybe this is, you know, me putting the tinfoil hat on a little bit, but I've got to address the seeding issue here, and I know you guys are probably – wanting to talk about that a little bit as well, but did you guys hear the gentleman, I guess he's head of the SWAT, Dr. Charles McClellan, say that they had made up their minds at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning?
Yep.
And
then
what?
Well, he said that, and then he said because of there were five bid stealers in the tournament, and by bid stealers, I mean five teams that won, and I'm sure you heard this too, there were five teams that won their conference tournaments that were not previously in the NCAA tournament. So then they had to go back, and the term he used was scratch They had to go through and scratch out what they had already done and redo some things because of those teams like Oregon winning the Pac-12 championship.
Well, so my question is, first of all, if that's the case, and that's going to be the case, why in the hell are we playing the SEC championship game on Sunday?
Yep.
That's a good point.
Why did it start on Tuesday and end on Saturday if they're going to do that?
That's been something people have been saying for a couple of years now, because the SEC has gotten the short end of the stick on this, and Texas A&M has been right there at the top of it, because, and this is something we're getting into today and for a while, I'm sure, but the SEC gets shafted because the NCAA tournament committee has already proven they make their bracket and they make their decisions way before the SEC championship game is played on Sunday afternoon. And that's so right. Why play it? Why play it? If you're going to have it, having it on Sunday is about the worst day possible. And if this doesn't get Greg Sankey and the SEC starting to think about moving it, then they may never will.
Well, let me add a couple other tidbits on this thing here. So Dr. Charles McClelland, the head of the SWAC and the head of the committee, can you just take a wild guess where he's based out of?
Where is he based out of?
Alabama.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
And Dr. Byrne, the AD at Alabama, we all know where he's based out of.
You talking about Greg Bammer Byrne?
Correct. And another member of the committee, the athletic director at Samford, also based out of Bammerham, happens to be C.M. Newton's son.
We all know who C.M. Newton was. He was the coach at Alabama from 1968 to 1980 in basketball, and you're referring to his son, Martin Newton. Okay. Lonnie, who is the athletic director at Samford. So we've got two Bammers from Birmingham and a Bammer from Tuscaloosa. And Auburn people are kind of scratching their heads on, well, why didn't we get a fair shake in the committee?
And it was decided on Saturday morning, remember? You know what I hate more than anything is a back room, you know, a smoke-filled back room.
Well, it's corrupt. Look, no one has offered up any kind of explanation, Lonnie, that makes any kind of sense that Auburn, who is ranked in the AP 7th today and in the top 5 in the 3 biggest metrics, Net, Torvik, and KenPom, and I don't want to ever hear the word metric again. No one can offer up any kind of explanation that's rational, and I'm willing to listen to it, that Auburn didn't get the shaft from this committee who's loaded up with a bunch of Alabama people.
Well, this is my last point, guys, and again, I'm proud of Auburn. I don't want to sound like I'm crying over spilt milk or anything like that. If you're going to go out west and, you know, play like we need to play, obviously you got to beat the best to be the best. But I know this is not a political show, but just for food for thought here, if you're on Twitter, I think we all know what's going on in Israel. We know what's going on in Gaza, and we know who's been pretty outspoken about that issue, and it happens to be our coach. And we all know pretty much how liberal a lot of these colleges and their presidents and they are in general. So I don't want to think that people would be that petty, but it sure is interesting how somebody who is as outspoken as Bruce is about it, it just, some of it smells a little anti-Semitic to me.
Thank you for the call, Lonnie.
Maybe that's a tinfoil hat. I don't know.
Thank you for the call, Lonnie, from Locha Poca. You can get in, too, 334-321-1390. I'm not going to go too deep into this. Nobody wants to hear any politics. This is a sports show. But I am going to point something out to Lonnie's point.
That's not the first time I've heard that. I'll say that. That's what I'll say about it.
That our coach is a staunch conservative, and there was an article that Kevin Skarbinski, let me find this article, had today in the opening sentence of it. You may not like his politics or his personality, and if so, he really doesn't care. But unless you're the NCAA Division I basketball committee, More on that group in a minute. You have to give Bruce Pearl his due. Is he saying that there were some people on the committee that just don't care for Bruce Pearl's politics?
Or Bruce Pearl as a person, and I think that's been a very consistent thing.
Or Auburn University?
I think that's been consistent for a long time. We're going to deep dive into the NCAA tournament. Selection Sunday was yesterday. Brackets are official. We'll jump into that when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Uncle T-Bone. Let's get to the phone lines. Once again, you can be a part of the show today. 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. There was another part of the bracket that I have not heard a lot of discussion on that I think Auburn kind of got gypped on. I was going to get y'all's opinion on this.
Go for it.
So Auburn is obviously going to Spokane. By the way, if the eight teams going to Spokane, three are from Alabama. I find that interesting.
I know. And hey, Auburn's playing in the East region because I'm pretty sure Spokane, Washington is in the East somehow.
It's in Eastern Washington.
It's in Eastern Washington. but yeah. And by the way, that's a neutral site for Gonzaga. It's about a mile from their campus, I think.
Yeah,
nice.
So, whatever. But, no, so Auburn's playing a Friday-Sunday, which I'm glad Auburn's got the Friday. You get an extra day of rest.
Yep.
But what I've not heard a lot of commentary about is that UConn Regional, UConn's playing in Brooklyn, and that's a Thursday-Saturday. So UConn, presuming they win that, UConn gets back to stores or wherever the campus is, Saturday night. Auburn plays Sunday. Auburn's going to have UConn's going to have about a 48-hour advantage, and Auburn will have travel because the East Regional is Thursday, Saturday.
And I'll add one to that, John. If both of Auburn and UConn make it to the Sweet 16, you know where that game's being played?
Oh, it's in Boston.
In Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, God.
And that's pretty close to UConn. That's pretty close to Connecticut. It's a little bit closer than Alabama is. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And we're just now getting into our tournament talk, and you're absolutely right. The fact that Auburn, UAB, and Alabama are all having to fly out to Spokane, Washington, what are we doing?
And I don't know if you heard Bruce Pearl's commentary. He had some interesting takes on this. And, I mean, I think he may have an ulterior motive, being that he wants, you know, the Auburn family, the Auburn crowd, traveling Neville to go around the country. But he was like, hey, of the last four regionals we've had, granted we had the one in Birmingham, but the other two before this were Salt Lake City and San Diego.
Yeah, and speaking of Salt Lake City, that's where Samford's got to go.
Wow. But I mean, you keep sending us out west. And his take on it was, you know, players' families and not being able to see their family members compete in the ultimate tournament, college basketball.
John, how about this? Bubba Cunningham on the committee happens to be the North Carolina athletic director and vice chairperson of the university. And somehow, some way, UNC still became a number one seed in playing in Charlotte, North Carolina, to open everything up.
Exactly. So,
I believe Tennessee's playing in Charlotte, too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Tennessee's playing there, too.
Tennessee's in Charlotte. I tell you what, there's a lot of places in this country that are rather salty about Auburn University, you know, and this basketball program. In Illinois, they go back, and they've got a longstanding feud with Bruce Pearl that we won't get into now. But there's a lot of interesting places in the country where – younger in his career, he rubbed the wrong feathers. But
here's the deal, John. Here's the deal, John. Auburn University already has very powerful enemies and rivals in all of college athletics. There's a university across the state that tried to eliminate the university a long time ago from even existing here. Okay?
Correct.
And
all that nonsense.
Yeah, and that just includes them. And then you add in just Bruce Pearl, who you mentioned it, the Illinois stuff. You know why people really don't like Bruce Pearl, though? Because he beats them. And they're tired of him beating him. And he speaks his mind about political issues. And he doesn't really care if you like it or not. That's what the man believes. And he stands behind it. And he continues to go out there and prove the haters and the doubters wrong. And they can't stand it. So this is the payback we get for it, especially when you look at some of the other names on that committee.
And when Auburn goes the other way and doesn't do that, you know, we wind up with a Tony Barbie that turns out to be a disaster.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
So, anyway, thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. Always great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. We're going to get back to the phone lines in just a second. And you know, I don't want to get super deep into that topic, but it's hard to avoid it sometimes. It really is. It's hard to continue to kick it under the rug or just step over it and move on, because there is obvious hatred and disagreement with, or dislike, whatever word you want to use, for Auburn and for Bruce Pearl. And John said it there. He ruffled some feathers back in the day. He did. But a lot of guys do that to get to where they are. I mean, a lot of big-name coaches do that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong or what he did was right or wrong. That's not what we're talking about here. But it's obvious that there are some people in selection committees, in the media, I'll say it again, in the media that don't like him, that have
no question
things
about it.
Against him. And you know what? It is what it is.
Pat 40.
It is what it is.
Hey, they go to halftime of the SEC championship game yesterday, and they go to ESPN, and there's Reese Davis, and everybody knows where Reese graduated from. And he goes, first comment, right when they come to him, I'm not saying that Florida has Auburn where they want, but they got them about as close to where they want as they can be where they have Auburn. And I'm like thinking to myself, no, they don't. They're down by 8. They can't hit water if they fell out of a boat. One of their starters broke his leg. And the Tigers are just getting warmed up, and we go out and just rickroll Florida in the second half. Where were his comments after the game? And then has the audacity in the media, when Bracketology starts at 6 o'clock Central last night on ESPN, within 2 minutes of that show, asking what's going on with Nick Saban's bracket, you think? Dude, it's not even the same sport, Bammer. Give it a rest, man. That's what we're up against here, folks.
334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, T-Bone, did you hear Reese Davis also say our new colleague here at ESPN?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. I don't think Auburn's going to beat Connecticut, because I don't think anybody's going to beat Connecticut. But if they did, boy, I'd love to see them wipe the egg off their faces.
Well, if they beat Connecticut, they're going to load up Illinois or Iowa State right behind them. You know, it's no easy road for the Tigers.
No, but
the SEC champions, who are 7th in the AP poll. And
if you told me Auburn was going to go through 3 blue bloods in 19, I wouldn't have believed that either.
That's what a lot of people have referenced, right? And rightfully so. And there's been a lot of comparisons to this Auburn team, to that 2019 team, even before Auburn won the SEC championship game yesterday. And this team's got that edge. They have that grittiness. And yeah, they've got a tough, tough path to the Final Four. I've still got thoughts on that, and we're going to get to that as we go today and throughout the rest of this week. But look, it's a tough road. It is. It's a tough road pretty much starting right out of the gate.
Well, this is the question I wanted to ask, guys, and maybe y'all could tell me. Is Sam Newton's son and Greg Byrne on the selection committee?
Yes.
No, that should
Martin
all
Newton,
right there.
Here's an article from Over the Mountain Journal back of last year in August entitled, Like Father, Like Son. Like Bammer on the committee? Thanks, Martin. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's beyond ridiculous.
And look, somebody call in and offer up a rational explanation of Auburn seating, and I'll consider it. I'm not just going straight, the world's against us, but nobody can offer up any kind of explanation. And until somebody in the press in the state of Alabama, like Kevin Skarbinski, has the guts to call up Greg Byrne and Martin Newton and interview them and ask them point blank why Auburn was a 4 seed and 15th in your rankings, give us the explanation. I'm not buying it until I hear it.
Those Carbinski ain't got no guts.
Well, here's my biggest problem is what T-Bone's talking about right there is the fact that even after the brackets are released, they sit the head honcho down.
Oh, gosh.
And look, I texted some people yesterday. I said, I can't wait for him to get a couple softball questions and not have to defend anything that they did. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't have to defend it. It's the same thing we saw, Terry, and all of our listeners. It's the same thing we saw with the college football playoff. They get in a room by themselves. They do what they do. They make their decision, and they go home and sleep well at night. And there's no explanation for it. It's like when you get in trouble as a kid, and you get in trouble, right? And you get grounded, or you know, whatever. And you're like, well, what am I in trouble for? And your parent says, because I said so. Because we made the decision. Because we wanted you to. Because that's what we decided. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. If you can give me a reason on why this happened, and I'm not just talking about Auburn, Terry. There's a lot of teams here that are in the tournament or out of the tournament that got the shaft.
No question.
And there needs to be a situation where they sit down and they have to defend your decision. You do it at a job. You have to show your work on a math test. You should show your work on the NCAA tournament.
How about Virginia being a playing game after they stole one from Auburn?
Which is ridiculous.
That's very what Jacob's saying, Terry. There's very little, if any, transparency, zero accountability, and then they send out Mr. Charles McClellan to get about a minute worth of questions that are a softball. It's not a softball, Jacob.
Wiffle ball.
It's like having a 4-year-old with the big red bat, and you're standing 3 feet away from them, lobbing a plastic ball for them to hit 3 feet, and everybody go, "Whee! Good job, sir!" You know, make these back room.
Connecticut in their bracket, but is Connecticut beside by seeing Auburn?
That's exactly yeah.
Well,
that's something else I want to say
too, big time. So did Iowa State, and so did Illinois.
I wouldn't want to see Auburn right now.
How do you put all four big conference tournament winners outside of NC State in the same bracket?
How do you put three teams from Alabama all the way to Spokane, Washington?
Yep, and three out of the four teams in the Final Four from a year ago are in the same bracket,
Until Jacob, until Terry. Thank you for the call, Terry. We appreciate it,
Terry.
You can get in 334-321-1390 on a fiery Monday. We're fired up here at ESPN 106.7. Until in all these backroom deals, whether it's the football committee, the basketball committee, the baseball committee, until they make all of their notes to the public, accessible, the discussions by video, and there's full transparency, you're going to continue to get backdoor deals like there appears to be with this thing. And what's more sad about it is the only person who got held accountable for it last year in football was Kirk Herbstreit, and he had to cover for everybody. And I didn't agree with him with everything he said, but he sure is catching a lot of crud. But none of those people on the committee are.
No, and it comes back to what we talk about all the time, too, with officiating, right? With referees who, I've been saying this for years, they should have a press conference post-game just like anybody else. You should have to defend the decisions you make. A coach has to sit in a press conference and talk about, well, coach, why'd you call that on 4th-and-1? Why didn't you call this? He's got to sit up there and take it. Players have to sit there and take it. Decisions have consequences, good and bad. And the fact that, and John, we're about to get to you on the phone lines, man, I promise. The fact that, and I don't know how to fix this, I really, and again, this is not me. I know you're fired up about Auburn in particular, Uncle T-Bone, but there's a lot of teams in here that got bad draws. There's some teams that missed out on the tournament that should be in there.
We can talk about that all week.
Yeah, and we will. I mean, there's so many things to get to, but I don't know how to fix this. But the fact that in the College Football Playoff Committee and in the NCAA Tournament Committee, we have athletic directors, standing athletic directors from current schools that are competing to get into that postseason.
That's not right.
Make that make sense.
No, that's not right.
I get why they're there, because they're knowledgeable. Yes, they're very knowledgeable. But there's no reason for an athletic director of a school that is competing to get into the postseason for them to be on that board, for them to be a decision maker. I don't care if it's Alabama. I don't care if it's Iowa. I don't care if it's McNeese State. Your AD should not be a part of the decision-making process when your school is involved. It's like picking a jury in a trial. If you have any conflicting relationships, you're gone. You're booted out. See you later. That's how it should be. It's ridiculous. I just don't understand it. I don't know who you replace them with. but I just don't understand it. I want to get to our final break. John, you're going to be first up when we come back, man. We appreciate you calling. Hold on, you'll be first up when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Got a few more minutes as we wrap up hour number one. John, you're on the line, man. We appreciate you holding on through the break. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. I was just going to say, as a season ticket holder since before Bruce Pearl got to Auburn, I'm ecstatic that this team was able to claim a piece of the SEC championship when they came out and they said he was going to be on this year's team. I thought that by the end of the year they might be a pretty decent little team, and they have grown to have great team chemistry. They're not the best. You know, there's no superstars on our team, and they play great as a team.
Yeah.
And they play as a brotherhood. Having said that, getting back to your – I think they did a disservice to everybody in Alabama, especially Samford, Auburn, Alabama. There's not many people that's going to be able to go and support those teams in Spokane, Washington, 2,500 miles away.
You got to throw UAB in there too.
Exactly, UAB. Yep. So, you know, we rely on the computers for everything else that we do with the metrics and this. Why not just let the computer do the seating?
Well,
because that's what we use the BCS computer for.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Olden days.
That's a good point. You got in one of these, I think it's Turvick, St. John's, let's see, ranked number. Excuse me, it's in the, it's in Turvick. St. John's ranked 21st, right? Virginia 69th. But the Cavaliers get in over St. John's, who took UConn to the mat.
Yep.
In that Big East Conference tournament. I'm with you, John. I'm with you. I think if you're going to shove these metrics and analytics crap down my throat
That's
all year,
thing.
You're going to tell me, oh, the analytics say that Florida's the number two team in the conference.
And all these quad
team.
One, quad
and
two
all that,
records.
All
yeah.
that garbage. And then when it comes down to the end of the year and completely ignore your own net rankings, NCAA? Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
I think it's very good that they could throw in the automatic qualifiers in the end, and then they could also, you know, do a variable for, you know, being able to get to the game for the students to support their teams.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, there's got
to
be somebody. There's somebody out there smarter than me that could come up with a formula that could make it work to where, yeah, like you guys are saying, if you're going to have all these different metrics and rankings and everything and talk about the different quad one, two wins and all that, but then at the end of the day it doesn't matter, then, yeah, what's it for? And I'm with you. I mean, how many Auburn fans or Alabama fans or Samford or UAB fans are going to load up on a plane, fly out to Spokane, Washington, and then hop on another plane and fly up to Boston, Massachusetts? And then if Auburn makes a run to the Final Four, guess what? You're back out in Phoenix, Arizona. Good luck.
Because wasn't it just last year, the year before, that the baseball committee for the tournament was talking about putting teams closer just to, you know, for financial purposes? And
yeah.
So, they're ignoring their own rules.
And for, like, TV purposes and atmosphere purposes, financial purposes, I mean, wouldn't you want more fans at the games for all of those reasons?
You would think. Well, maybe they could open more venues instead of having the four. You know, they could open up more venues for the first round. I don't know. But it kind of, like I said, I'm ecstatic that Auburn finished where they did, but it kind of sucks that they're not going to have the support from anybody out there. I appreciate y'all's time.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. Appreciate you holding on through the break.
Well said.
And he's exactly right because of what we talked about to start the show, Uncle Tebow. Look at what Auburn did in Nashville this weekend. Look at what the Auburn fans did in Bridgestone Arena. You can't do that in Spokane. You can't do that at TD Garden in Boston. You can't do that in Phoenix, Arizona. Like, Auburn and Alabama, we're looping them all in there. They all got right. The shaft here. Where then you've got teams like Tennessee who are a bus ride playing in Charlotte.
It's the inconsistencies of the NCAA and just about everything they do, and this is another perfect example of it with this so-called committee that drive me crazy. When the Lenardis and Palms are more accurate and from weeks ago, Jacob, in their seating, than the NCAA, even accounting for its own rankings in net. And something's not right with the system, and I'm calling shenanigans on the committee. I think there were some backdoor deals here. I'm saying it out loud. Something doesn't pass the smell test here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's just so many things on this bracket that just don't make sense. I mean, and look, this was a difficult job. This was one of the most difficult, and they said this, and I believe it. This was one of the most difficult tournaments to put together because of the craziness of college basketball this year. I said this earlier, there were five teams that won their conference tournaments that were previously out of the NCAA tournament. Those are called bid stealers. And teams like Indiana State, who were ranked top 25 in the country, got hosed and didn't make the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I could do it. But I guarantee I could come up with a better system than what we're using right now. And the fact that we want to expand it, we want to make it more teams.
Yeah, the committee just, they just ignore stuff. I don't even think they're paying attention, and I think they lie when they're pressed on it. I just got this from the barbershop. Yesterday, Auburn became the first team to beat three teams that qualify for the NCAA tournament round of 64 en route to the SEC tournament championship since Florida in 05.
We'll end it right there. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, March 18th, 2023, or 2024. Oh my goodness, it is not 2023. It is 2024 here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Uncle T-Bone. Hour number one is in the books. We are off and running here in hour number two, and man, we are fired up in this studio, and we know you are as well. I got three people on the phone lines waiting to get in here. We're going to get to all of them here in hour number two, talking about Auburn basketball, SEC basketball, NCAA tournament. Yes, that's right. All of that is on the show today and all week long. We appreciate you being with us. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. We'll post that right after the show today. Let's go ahead and jump into this thing. Get back to the phone lines. Ed, you're on the line. Thanks for holding on through the break. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
I was just going to mention the subject of the day, you know, on the show that comes on before here, and I've called you and Bill also, and mentioned that at one point the best coach, the undisputed best coach in the SEC, Dell Brown. He made the SEC tournament a joke because he wouldn't put his players in. Where is Greg Sankey in all of this? You know, if this had been Alabama, if this had been somebody else, but it either matters or it doesn't. So next year, you know, Auburn, just set your players.
I'm with you, Ed.
Just set them.
I'm with you.
And don't even participate. They will realize that, hey, we have to make this matter. I wouldn't put a starter in next year if I was Auburn. I'm sick of this.
Ed, I'll tell you what bothers me about it is it obviously mattered in the tournament for Texas A&M. Had they not beat Kentucky, do you think they would have gotten into the tournament?
I don't think they would have. But to what end is that?
That's what I'm saying. The inconsistencies are...
Okay, that's good. But what good did it do Auburn to play all their
right.
players.
Right, I'm seeing what you're saying.
And have what happened happened.
Yeah, the top you know, seeds, the teams that are
players. Let everybody just rest. Put a bunch of subs in there and just lose the first game. Make it a freaking joke, and then they'll start paying attention.
Yeah,
this is dadgum embarrassing for the SEC. And Greg Sankey, among everybody, should be up taking some kind of responsibility.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Ed. We appreciate the call, man. Great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And, you know, I get it. I do. I completely understand where Ed's coming from. Because, you know, I saw people say, well, you know, Rick Barnes and Nate Oates and John Calipari, they figured it out. They said, you know what? Not that they lost on purpose, but you see what I'm saying here. It's like, well, so what that we lost on the first day of the SEC or first game of the SEC tournament didn't affect us in the NCAA tournament seedings,
right.
Didn't impact us. We didn't get hurt by it at all because I believe, and they continue to prove it time and time again, that the NCAA tournament, they make their decisions on teams like Auburn before the SEC tournament is even halfway
That's
over.
That's ridiculous. And you know, to be the conference that claims it means more, and to have a loser mentality to not even want to compete because the SEC tournament doesn't matter. We're already seated. Let's not even play it. What a loser, mediocre mentality that Greg Sankey. It just means less, Greg.
And it's not even the SEC. It's the NCAA Tournament Committee. But what Ed is saying is the SEC is allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
They're allowing that to be a thing. Now, part of it is what we talked about in the first hour, where the SEC Tournament Championship game being played on Sunday. I think moving that to Saturday would help a little bit. But, yeah, if you're Bruce Pearl today, you're thinking, man, we just went through everything. We went through you-know-what to get here. This man was standing on the sidelines in tears of joy.
Right.
Missing his dad that had passed away.
Right.
His players are in tears. They're on the phone. They loved winning the SEC tournament, and the NCAA gave them a big middle finger and said, good job, here's your reward. Absolutely nothing.
It was Greg Byrne and Martin Newton. The Bammers from Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. I mean, need not say more.
And I'm with Ed. I mean, Greg Sankey is allowing it to happen, and it's unfortunate. Because it does mean something. It should. Means something to Auburn. Means something to the players, to the coaches. But outside of that day in Nashville, and outside of that day where they're going to hang that banner inside of Neville Arena for the SEC Tournament Championship, guess what? It doesn't matter at all.
You know, I just kind of feel like through all this, the more and more stuff like this happens within the conference, and I think Ed's frustration and mine too is, like I said, it mattered that Texas A&M beat Kentucky, but it didn't matter that Auburn ran through three teams for the first time that were all going to the tournament to win the SEC championship in 19 years, not to get a better seating than a four when everybody in the country, except for the people on the committee, and we've already named who they are and where they represent, everybody in the country is like, yep, they're a three seed.
Arguments for a two seed.
The more that this happens under Greg Sankey's watch is the more that I just think he's a gutless leader.
334-321-1390. Let's get to Graham. You're up first, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? How we doing?
Well, we're fired up in here, man. We are the temperature is rising inside this studio, man.
Oh, I bet. When you know me, you know I'm not the biggest basketball guy, but I always kind of relay it back to wrestling. That's kind of how I compare it to myself, and I just don't understand. So there's a committee, but then what's the point of having the rankings all year and doing that? I was kind of doing some digging while I was waiting, and there's a lot of teams other than Auburn that kind of got screwed. But like what you're saying, if you win your conference tournament and you got rewarded, then some of those teams didn't make it in, you know, because of that. Yet Auburn wins and gets put behind, what, two other SEC teams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like, the big question that everybody's asking is like, okay, what's the point of having all these metrics and rankings if they're not going to matter, right? If they're not going to mean anything. And Look, I've said this too. You win your conference championship, your conference tournament championship, and you get the automatic bid because you got hot for 4 days, where the team that wins the regular season championship gets nothing but a seed in that tournament. So it doesn't make any sense to me, Graham.
Right. Well, and I understand to an extent, though, too, like, you know, if you peak at the right time, right? So if you're not a great team, you win your tournament or you do this or that, you should be a little rewarded for that. I understand that. But if we're looking at the whole body of work and that's what the seeds are supposed to be based, you know, I don't know. I think you got to kind of pick one. Like, are you doing it off the body of work or are you doing it off where we're at now kind of thing? I feel like that changes the seeds completely.
Yeah, I'm with you, Graham. Are you doing it off the metrics, off the analytics, off the strength of schedule? Are you doing it off the win-loss record, the eye test? No one can seem to answer any of these questions because right. no one's even getting multiple. Asked the questions.
Right, right. And I don't know. To me, that it just seems crazy. But I just wanted to comment.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, and I also, one little thing, Jacob will laugh, but Montevallo in Alabama had a national champion wrestler this week in Division II. So
how about that?
I wanted to shout that guy out.
Yeah.
Jacob knows I'm a big wrestling fan.
That's so right.
Gabe Hicksonbaugh was a national champ Division II for the state of Alabama this past week.
That's awesome. Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah.
So, well, that's all I got for you guys. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you, Graham. 334-321-1390. And he's right, Uncle T-Bone. That's exactly where we stand. What's getting used, we have no idea.
It just bothers me that there's such lack of transparency in this entire process, especially with, you know, asking not just the so-called committee head, nothing but straight-up softball, cotton ball, so soft questions that the committee members don't get asked any questions. Nobody in the press in the state of Alabama has the guts to ask Greg Byrne or Martin Newton at Samford why in the world was Auburn seated where they are. Why in the world is Auburn the same seat as Alabama?
And I'll say this too, right? I sat down yesterday. I was up here working at the office. I actually ran the board yesterday for Auburn baseball with Brad Law in the series finale where Auburn baseball did not have a good weekend in Nashville, unfortunately. But I get home, right, I sit down and I turn on the TV when the selection show came on at, what, 5 yesterday?
5 o'clock on CBS.
Here's the problem. Auburn fans didn't even have time to realize what had happened because this thing started at 5:02. Auburn, 4-seed Spokane, bam, it was on. No. I was like, what in the world? It happened just like that.
Jacob, you're exactly right. But this Auburn fan that you're talking to right now knew exactly what had happened as soon as I saw Auburn, because I was settling in with a cold snack waiting for a great show and able to sit back and enjoy and celebrate
Auburn's
big
victory. Have a little anticipation.
Big victory, and see all these other teams pop off. I would have bet almost everything I could bet that after what Auburn did yesterday, and they put UConn as the number one seed in the whole tournament, that ain't no way Auburn's going to be in that bracket. I was settling in. All of a sudden, they popped it off. I knew exactly what happened. We got the shaft.
Mm. It happened so quick, too. And that's what we've talked about that we will continue to talk about is Auburn should be upset. UAB should be upset. UConn should be upset.
Iowa State should be upset. Illinois should be upset. St. John should be upset. They got the total shaft.
This is a tough bracket, man. We said this earlier. 4 of the Power 6 conference champions in their tournaments are in the same bracket as Auburn. UConn, Auburn, Iowa State, and who's the other one? And Illinois.
Let me ask you this, Jacob.
Yeah, and then we're going to get to the phone
lines. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be in the bracket with UConn, Illinois and Iowa State, or North Carolina, Baylor, and Arizona?
See, now we're getting to a conversation where I have some decent takes here.
I mean, give me a break. Would you rather play Charleston or Yale first? Would you rather have the potential playing your St. Mary team in Grand Canyon or a team from your own state in UAB?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't want to see Andy Kennedy in UAB. I'll tell you that. I don't want to play them. 334-321-1390. Mark, you're on the line, man. What's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, y'all got to chill out a little bit. And to answer your question you just asked, T-Bone, I'd a lot rather play Yale than I had Charleston in the first round.
Really? Why?
I I guarantee you, Charleston is going to give Alabama more than Auburn, than Yale's going to, just watch, than Yale's going to give Auburn.
Now, College of Charleston won their tournament, right?
They're 24 and 7, 26 and 7, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We can get into that a little bit deeper, but I understand what you're saying.
And that's fine. Yeah, and then earlier you made the comment that, you know, about Reese Davis made the comment that Florida had Auburn exactly where they wanted them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had Auburn where they wanted them, but they damn sure had Alabama where they wanted them.
I mean,
I can
promise you during that game, Reese Davis didn't make that comment.
No. But the two real quick points that I want to talk about is, you know, you're focusing on Auburn, but and you just mentioned it a little bit. UConn has got screwed a whole lot worse than Auburn did. A whole lot worse.
Well, I'm not saying also that UConn's not beatable, because they are. I mean, they're not undefeated.
I'm just saying, that's right, but I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, they got the shaft.
Big picture of it.
I'm with you on that. How does the committee, the NCAA committee, justify putting three of the top five net teams in the same bracket with the number one seed? You're the number one seed in the tournament, and you get the toughest top four?
Well, and that's. Yeah, I agree with that, but that just goes back to everything else you've been talking about with the committee. But I'm going to say this about two things real quick. They set the pods up, and the reason they set pods up was supposed to be have teams not travel as much.
Right.
Well, that didn't work out so well.
No.
And then the second thing is, you know, you were talking, you know, how Bruce Pearl was upset, you know, and Stephen Pearl had their comments about this. Don't think for one second that Bruce Pearl's not using this as motivation right now.
Yep. Yeah, you better believe that.
He's been preaching that all weekend about nobody respects us, nobody believes in us. And, you know, he said we're not losing again. We got 9 games, but we ain't got but 6 now.
That's right. He said we're not losing again in March, and they have yet to do it. They've yet to lose.
That is correct. He said they were going 9-0 from that point.
3 down, 6 to go.
You got to beat them anyway.
That's right.
You have to beat them early, you have to beat them late. And who knows what upsets are going to happen before we even get there.
That's right.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Happy Monday. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
SEC champions.
That's right. It's a beautiful Monday, Mark. That's right. I haven't heard you say that in a long time. We appreciate you calling in, man. 334-321-1390. There's a lot more to get to, man. And look, we're fired up. Out of excitement, really, to be completely honest with you, because this is my favorite time of the year. It's a lot of people's favorite time of the year. March Madness is the best single season tournament that exists. We're upset for Auburn, but we're also happy for Auburn because they are SEC champions. And we're also fired up because it just doesn't seem like things are handled the right way sometimes. But it is what it is. And here's the thing. The bracket's set. The bracket's locked in. We can't change it. We don't have that power. We don't have a whole lot of power. But we do have a lot of fun. And that's what we're having right now. We're going to keep talking about this. We've got Andy. You'll be first up. Another call after that. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get back to the phone lines. They're smoking over there. I can see them. They've been on fire all show long. 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm glad that caller called in a second ago, because I was like, man, just because the committee didn't give us any respect for the SEC win, we need to, you know, give a little bit more clap for it, man. I did not see us winning that at all. And nothing this season showed me that we could win that. I knew we could beat any one team there, but then we'd lose the next, just like we did all season. So when Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky all went out, I mean, what are the odds of that?
Right. And I mean, that was a trend all around college basketball this weekend.
Right. And
Alabama didn't go out. They got blown out.
like the next day, someone's like, "Hey, who's going to beat Auburn?" And I was like, "I guess Bama." Like, he's not. They're not even in it. I'm like, they lost two.
Yeah, because that was a late night result.
So, yeah, I go, I guess Auburn's going to win it all then, and they did. So let's bathe in that. I mean, the fate that had to happen paved our way with what happened, and maybe that's continuing. Maybe that's coming to an abrupt end with what's happening. But maybe, you know, you guys have been filling out brackets. That stuff goes crazy where there's more upsets than not. So I'm glad we're a little higher up so we can upset someone. If we were a one or two, the pressure on those teams, I don't think Auburn does well with pressure. I think they do better with what they're going in with.
That's a good point.
You know, anger and disrespect. So,
that's a really good point, Andy.
Well, cool. Well, I like to be smart once in a while. So let's ride with that because let's go in there like a tornado and take care of business.
I love it.
I think we should all just be so proud. Again, I did not expect this. So we're on cloud nine right now, and you know, these other teams, these Bamas, they have to win their first game, or they're just going to be their whole season went to. I don't want to say a bad word, but bad
yeah, please don't. Yeah, well, you know, if Bamba goes one and done in the NCAA tournament, their head coach, old Nate Oates, he may not be in T-town, and I'm not saying they'd get rid of him. He may just dip out.
Even though
they just like paid that. Him, I mean, they did just
right,
pay
right.
him.
Right, usually when a player gets paid, you know, I've been doing fantasy enough. Usually when that player signs that contract, that next season's terrible. So
yeah.
And I guarantee you, between Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, I'm leaving someone out, Alabama, someone's going to lose early on, you
Kentucky.
Know. But at least if it's Auburn, you know, we have something we can hang our hats on.
That's
so
right.
I think we have nothing to lose and playing on house money at this point, which I think our team succeeds on. So this could be the best thing in the world for us, just like the SEC turnout, because that was nuts and awesome, and I'm so proud of what a great culmination to the end of the season. So
for sure.
It's been a good ride. Been a good crazy walk ride.
That's right.
Thanks
so much, Andy. And I'll say this before we're going to get to Dan in just a second. I will say this. For those that have not been able to tune in the whole show or kind of in and out, which I know a ton of people are throughout the day, we talked a lot about the SEC tournament in the first hour, talked a lot about this team winning the SEC tournament, what they went through to get through the SEC championship, hanging another ring or hanging another banner, getting another ring. So I don't want it to sound like that we're just on here going nuts on the tournament because Auburn did a great thing. They did. They won the SEC championship yet again under Bruce Pearl.
Well, Jacob, I also want to state that it's not like I'm saying the season's over. Just because we got the shaft and where we got put in the bracket, I strongly feel like Auburn can make some serious noise in this bracket. And like Andy said, that's a great point. When Bruce Pearl is the hunter and not the hunted, you better watch out. He's proven that before. They can beat UConn. UConn's not infallible. And Auburn's the type team and is built to really rough some people up and make a run deep in the tournament if they get a few things go their way. I'm just tired of seeing this behind-the-scene, backdoor chicanery with the NCAA that's just been going on, I think, my entire lifetime. I'm tired of it.
Let's get to the phone lines one more time before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Dan in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Oh, not much, man. That was totally not what I was expecting when the brackets came out.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is going on here?
You're not the only one, Dan.
And again, it happened so quick, most people didn't have time to really comprehend what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what's confusing to me, it's almost like they just looked at just the quad one bracket and didn't take anything else into account. And to me, I think I want to choose a team on how they're playing at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they're gelling and they have everything together. And the perfect example, all on the four line, you know, you got Auburn, who's a hot team right now. We just won the SEC tournament, and we played in one of the toughest conferences. I think we're more prepared going through what we went through than what UConn went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got three ranked teams and nobody on there. I've watched them. I'm not saying they're not a good team, but I feel like we've already been through that gauntlet all year long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just you look at Kansas, and they lost 6 of their last 10, the 4 of their last 5.
They're limping into the tournament.
Two of them by 30 points. One of them by 29, one by 30, one by 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I was hoping we were going to get in their bracket or be, you know.
I'm with you on that.
But like, even Alabama, you know, like if you just switch places with Alabama in their bracket, I mean, I'd feel like we just tear through that side like it's nothing.
Yep.
You know.
If you look at the 3 seeds in the tournament – outside of Creighton, when you've got Kentucky, Illinois, and Baylor, I would have Auburn ahead of all 3 of those teams, Dan.
Yep.
And I think you could make an argument for Creighton. But to have them as listed as the 15th best team in the bracket, that officially came out yesterday in Alabama 16, that's a joke. They weren't doing their job. That committee this year, they weren't paying attention.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, it's like, okay, so obviously if you get a quad one win, that's a big deal. But then, you know, like I'm starting looking at Arizona here, you know, they got 8 losses, that's fine. You know, but then they have 4 quad two losses and a quad three loss. But that doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's what people have been questioning all day is, well, what are the metrics for if you're not going to use them and not be consistent when you use them?
Yeah, no, I mean, look. Honestly, like you said just a few minutes ago, it's probably the best thing in the world. I mean, a pissed off Auburn team is usually a great team.
That's right.
And I'm going to put down in my bracket that Auburn's going to go all the way to the end.
I love it.
Dan.
It's going to take, you know, a serious team to upend what we're going to get about to do.
That's right. Dan, always great to hear from you, man. Thanks so much for the call. 334-321-1390. Shutting down the phone lines. We got to get Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network in here. We'll get his thoughts on what was a busy weekend in Nashville for 3 Auburn sports, softball as well, women's basketball in the NCAA tournament as well. We'll talk about all that and more with Jacob Hillman when we come back.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's been a great show today, man. We have been rocking and rolling. Phone lines have been nonstop. And unfortunately for you, we're stopping them. But fortunately for us and for you on the listener side of things, we're welcoming in Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, who's with us every single Monday. And I know he's got thoughts on everything going on around Auburn athletics. Jacob Hillman, happy Monday. How was your trip to Nashville, my friend?
I mean, is that a rhetorical question or what? Because obviously it was just a spectacular weekend.
That's right.
In Auburn North. And coming home with an SEC championship, it's impossible to beat that. And it's just so exciting this time of year with everything going on postseason for the arena sports and obviously the spring sports getting into SEC play. It's hard to complain.
Well, man, you were a part of the broadcast crew there in Nashville on the basketball side of things with Andy Burch, and you guys did such a wonderful job this weekend. And so talk to us about what that was like, what the crowd was like. We've seen and heard so much about the Auburn faithful there in Nashville, and then ultimately watching Bruce Pearl and the team cut down the nets yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, the crowd grew exponentially by day as Auburn advanced to the SEC tournament. It was probably a 90% Auburn crowd on Sunday at the SEC tournament championship game, and it really felt like, I think Jedi Broom said it best, it wasn't Neville Arena, but it was Neville Arena, the way Auburn fans showed out in force, and they were engaged and loud all 40 minutes. And, I mean, it was insane whenever Denver Jones made that dunk with about 14 minutes to go to spark that 7-0 run, and Florida called timeout. I haven't heard an arena that loud in a while, but it really was a special week for the Tigers. Obviously, you get a couple of big wins over South Carolina and Florida, but in between there, you had your first single-digit win of the year over Mississippi State in what seemed more like an NCAA tournament game, and I thought that was such an encouraging game for this team to experience and go through, and even for us, even for those that have been following this team, watching this, man, that are fans of this team, just to see Auburn get that close win that obviously hasn't happened this year because they haven't needed it. They've won 27 games this season to tie the 1999-2000 record for most in a regular season, and it really has been impressive the way this team has just flown through the regular season the way they did and got it done in Nashville.
Jacob, Tigers take care of business for the SEC championship in basketball, 86-67. What's the schedule moving forward for this Tiger basketball team and the long flight out to Spokane, Washington?
Yeah, they'll be headed out tomorrow afternoon to get out west and get prepared for Yale on Friday afternoon. So obviously a mid-afternoon tip time. So that's going to be something to get prepared for the Tigers. And I'm not sure exactly the schedule in Spokane between there, but try to get out there early and get adjusted. Obviously, you're crossing a couple of time zones, so that does play a bit of a factor. It'll basically be playing a 4 o'clock game body time for them, and I think it's going to be interesting. I think that this team going out there, and obviously Coach Pearl talked about it yesterday, where they sent three Alabama teams to Spokane, and the fourth is in Salt Lake City. You're not going to have the same kind of crowd you had yesterday,
right,
in Nashville. It's going to be a bit of a lighter crowd, and that's going to go both ways. I'm not expecting Yale to bring a big contingency, but either way, that's not necessarily the thing you need to focus on. It is about this team and the way it's played over the last few games, especially. I'm going to keep looking at that Mississippi State game as the one Auburn fans should really hone in on. And this is how the NCAA tournament is going to play out, more so than the way the Florida or the South Carolina game did. And who knows, Auburn might be able to go in and get a couple of double-digit wins, but you're going to have to win close games to make a deep run here in March. And that's what's so exciting, is that this team has shown that it can win in so many ways with so many different players playing well. I mean, getting into some individual players, I mean, I can't talk about how impressive Chris Moore was these past three games.
Yeah.
He matched his regular season SEC total in three games in Nashville, scoring points. And he was perfect from the field. And all of those shots came in critical times.
Timely
shots,
yes.
Yeah, it was timely, big moments, and really smart runs for the Tigers. And I don't know, and that goes for so many different guys. Chaney Johnson really, really was impressive as well. He had a nice run towards the end of that second half. Chad Baker Bizarre got the scoring pretty much started for them. And then obviously Jani Broome was the tournament MVP. And it's interesting. Jalen Williams had kind of an under-the-radar week in Nashville, so I expect him to get back into the flow of things where he's scoring in the 15- to 20-point range once we get into the NCAA tournament.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. Now that Auburn is SEC tournament champs, we all got to see the emotional interview with Bruce Pearl, and he had players in tears. I mean, this was a big, big moment for this basketball team and this basketball program. A 4 seed in the NCAA tournament heading out to Spokane. If they win their 2 games there, they'll fly across the country again, and they'll go to Boston and play however many games, if they win or lose there in Boston. So traveling for Auburn fans is going to be difficult, but man, this team has to be feeling good. You were getting into it there a little bit about all these individual players, and look, I think it's safe to say Auburn's playing their best basketball at the best time.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say this team is the hottest in the country at this point in time, and it's a good thing that I wouldn't say you wanted Auburn to get this kind of draw and get underseeded the way that they did. But, man, I'll tell you what, they certainly have a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to be motivated to prove the selection committee wrong, because it felt like everyone was on the same page going into that selection show, that Auburn had earned its way up to a number 3 seed. But obviously it wasn't seen that way with the NCAA, but that's whatever. And, you just got to go win your games. It was going to be a tough road regardless. That's a fact. The NCAA tournament is no easy track, and you're going to have to go through a gauntlet. And Auburn did that back in 2019 when it made its first Final Four, defeating Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky in consecutive games. And quite frankly, they handled business pretty well against the Jayhawks and Tar Heels, winning those games by a lot of points. So it really is about getting hot at the right time, and I think that this team has certainly done that.
and want to continue to move through. We got a lot of sports to get to here on the show today, Jacob. With Auburn men's basketball in the NCAA tournament, the Auburn women's basketball team is in the NCAA tournament as well. They are in the play-in game, which, talk about some things we disagree with. I think they may have gotten shafted on that as well, but that's here, nor, near here or there. But Auburn playing Arizona in the play-in game. Auburn women's basketball, Coach Jay, on Thursday. Tip-off time set for 6 p.m. Airtime 5:45 on the radio over on AU100. What an accomplishment it is for this Auburn women's basketball team to be back in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, once again, regardless of how we, whether or not we agree with the placement of this team in the seeding and the play-in game or whatnot, you're right. It is an incredible accomplishment for this program, and it shows that the trajectory continues to rise for Coach Jay and that coaching staff, because it started off her first year. You get some big wins over a top five Tennessee team on the road at a ranked Georgia Tech. You beat Georgia at home, who was ranked at that time. And then the next year, you make it to the WNIT second round. But after that game, I remember Coach Jay and those players that were returning said, we don't want to play in the WNIT again. We want to be back here or return to the NCAA tournament and do that for Auburn for the first time since 2019. And they did just that. And really just looking back at the end of the regular season, the way they did that and getting that big win against Arkansas in the SEC tournament was a really, really solid way to do that and build momentum going into this tournament. And obviously you get this play-in game where it gives you, in a way, because obviously Auburn was going to be a 9, 10, or 11 seed. So technically you were going to be the underdog in your first game. But now, because you get the play-in game, it gives you a chance to win an NCAA tournament game in a way. So a better chance to win an NCAA tournament game in a way. And I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing in the world to get this play-in game, because Auburn's been off for however long now, about
been
a week and a half.
Yeah, so, because the SEC tournament has been over for – it's been concluded for over a week.
Right. So I think getting back in the groove here in this play-in game, it can give you a pretty good shot in that first-round game and get a chance to get an official first NCAA tournament win in a while. So I'm really excited for that program and that team and what they can show out here on Thursday night.
Jacob, Nashville giveth, Nashville taketh away. Auburn baseball goes 0-for, being swept by the Commodores up in Nashville this weekend. Got a midweek game tomorrow in Montgomery over at Biscuit Stadium against South Alabama. And then number one, Arkansas, comes to town Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. What do the Tigers have to do to get a couple of W's in that series and get back right in the SEC standings?
Yeah, it was an odd weekend at Hawkins Field for Auburn baseball. You know, I think in all three games, Auburn had a lead in. That's kind of a wild thing to think about, the way those games ended up. And I think the most disappointing result is definitely that Sunday one, when you had a 5-3 lead late in that one, and you give up some runs that you really just give Vanderbilt. But you know, you got to remember last year that Auburn started off in this exact same scenario where you go to Arkansas. The weather's cold. It's against a really tough matchup with incredible pitching, and you get swept. And Auburn was able to bounce back from that one. So it's going to have to be the same mindset and the same type of strategy getting back into it. And you're right. It does start tomorrow against South Alabama and Montgomery, because these midweek games are no pushover. And Auburn's been really successful in midweek games this year. And I think that's the way to get back on track is find that success and build some confidence going into this weekend. It'll be a short turnaround from that one, because it is a Thursday through Saturday series against number one Arkansas. So I think that's the key, is finding that confidence on Tuesday and bringing it right in Thursday. And if you can grab two games, then you are right back on track, because if you had gotten one at Vanderbilt, then you'd probably be just asking for one game here against Arkansas, the top-ranked team in the country. But I think getting two games would be just – absolutely huge for this ball club and Butch Thompson. So I'm excited to see what they bring tomorrow night against South Alabama.
Well, I always say in SEC play, in just in this league where it is now in baseball, when you go on the road, you're not – I mean, you'd love to get the win, obviously, and a sweep would just be over the top. But I feel like you're just looking for one, right? You're looking for one game, one win, and Auburn unfortunately did not get that. So now you're kind of playing from behind, and you're trying to play catch-up, and it's not easy to do in this conference, especially when Arkansas, the number one team in the country, comes to town this weekend. Jacob Hillman. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think looking back at last year, it took a little bit of time for that team to, to really
get going
and get hot. And then they grab those two series at South Carolina and then at home against LSU, two of the top teams in the country. And then you also ended the year on an absolute hot streak, taking down Ole Miss in a sweep and Missouri in a sweep. And that's part of it. It's getting in your groove and getting the wins when you need them. And obviously the schedule just didn't happen to fall in your favor where – you get number 8 Vanderbilt on the road in the opening weekend where it's cold and it's a tough matchup. It happens, but like you said, it's absolutely important to bounce back this week.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Monday at 3:30 during On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Before we let you go, other sports going on around Auburn athletics. Gymnastics was in action this weekend. Softball in action. And this is one of the busiest weeks of the season right now for you guys over at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yes, it is, and we're trying to set travel plans and everything, and it's a little bit of chaos, but we're going to get it figured out. And you mentioned gymnastics; they were also up in Nashville this weekend at the Kidney Care Gymnastics Championship, put up a 197.575. That was a big score for this team going in to the postseason. SEC Championships this Friday in New Orleans. Auburn will be competing in the Friday afternoon session at Smoothie King Center. So get ready for that. This upcoming weekend, Auburn softball was able to get one from Arkansas this past weekend. Maddie Pinsley got her 68th career win as a starting Auburn pitcher. That is the most in Auburn history by a pitcher, so further cementing herself as one of the greatest to ever put on the orange and blue for the Tigers, and that's just such an amazing accomplishment for Maddie. They'll be back in action tomorrow at Troy, so getting a midweek game in, and fortunately the weather looks good, so I think it'll be important for this team to just continue to get consistent action with the way the weather has been detrimental to the schedule. And I'll have the call with J.J. Jackson on the Auburn Tigers app. So excited for that one and excited to speak with Maddie and Coach Dean and about that accomplishment.
Yeah, the weather has just been horrible for Auburn softball, moving games around, canceling games, rescheduling games, making up games in the middle of the week somewhere. I mean, it's been a disaster, really, but hopefully that all gets cleaned up and Auburn softball can continue to do their thing. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, I'll go ahead and tell you all, folks, when it comes to these radio broadcasts coming up for this weekend, between really starting tomorrow all the way through Monday, just keep up with us, keep up with the Auburn Sports Network. There's going to be a lot of changes. We'll get official schedules and out for you because, Jacob, you know this, there's a lot of moving parts, my friend.
Absolutely, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU. I'll have details of the broadcast I'm a part of, and follow at AU Sports Network. That'll cover it all. That'll cover all your bases, whether it's men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, or softball. We'll have everything there. Also, follow at Auburn Tigers. That will have a lot of information as well. So we're excited for the busy week ahead.
That's right. Well, hey, you and I are talking plenty on the backside, getting things ready with everybody over at the Auburn Sports Network. You guys do a wonderful job, and go get back to work, all right?
Hey, I will do. Thanks for the time. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Monday at 3:30. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. You feeling okay, Uncle T-Bone?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm all right. I'm a little peaked, but I'm okay. I'll get over it. I'll settle into tourney mode here in a couple of days. I just felt like after what the committee did yesterday, I had to get a lot off my chest, and I think several of our callers did too. We just got the shaft, and I'm tired of it.
I think we had a really good therapy session today. I think this was good for everybody.
You know what? If you didn't get in today to get into the On the Line therapy session, you can join Bill and Dan here for the next couple hours and do it all over again.
Yeah, or you can come back tomorrow and join us 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Couple of things we got to get to before we wrap up the show today. And look, we appreciate everybody being with us, whether you've been here since 2, whether you're just now tuning in and out of the show. We appreciate you all being a part of this show. We say the two things: nobody's working harder than us and nobody's having more fun than we are. And we're excited to have you along for the ride. And we're also excited to have you come out and join us on Thursday afternoon as we kick off the tourney. Yes, Thursday afternoon when the NCAA tournament gets going, we will be live on location at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Join us with On the Line, followed by The Drive for a live remote 2 to 6 p.m. Thursday, March 21st, this Thursday, to tip off the tourney at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Home of the Warburger, Thirsty Thursdays at the Plaza Bar have never been more exciting than March 21st. That's this Thursday, with the first day of March Madness. Along with me, Uncle T, Bill, and Dan, the Plaza, along with all the tourney games, they'll offer beer bucket specials, $1 wings, and much more. Doors open at 11 a.m. this Thursday with ESPN 106.7 live 2 to 6 in the Shack on the Party Patio from the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. Your home, Auburn Opelika, for March Madness. I cannot contain my excitement.
Be there or be square is what I like to say.
Be lame if you're not there. So come out and join us 2 to 6 beforehand. Afterwards, we're going to be there.
It's going to be so much fun.
We're going to have a blast. They're going to have every game on the tournament. And you know what? I think it works out best that Auburn's not on that day, because then we're just going to sit and talk about all the other games going on. Going to be relaxed. Going to have a good time. Thursday is going to be a lot of fun. Come out and join us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We want to meet you. We want to hang out with you, talk with you. We'll be having our show, and then The Drive will be doing their show as well. And speaking of all that, Auburn plays on Friday at 3:15. 3:15 Central Time, and we were talking and putting our heads together on the back end, everybody here at ESPN, and we made a general decision on shows on Friday, with our two sports talk shows that are surrounding the Auburn basketball game. And here's what we're going to do. We'll remind you this all week. We are going to do on Friday, we're going to do the first hour of our show, so from 2 to 3 o'clock, we're going to do On the Line, treat it as a pregame show for the Auburn basketball game.
Boom.
We're going to take the second hour off of our show, the first hour off of The Drive, and Bill and Dan will do, they'll do the first hour or the second hour of their show on Friday. So we'll have us from 2 to 3. Take a break, watch the game, and then Bill and Dan are going to go live from 5 to 6 on Friday for The Drive. And treat it as a call-in post-game show, if you will.
So we're going to have basically here at 106.7 a one-hour pregame show, me and you hosting it, and then a one-hour post-game show with Bill and Dan. That's smart, folks. That's how you radio.
That's right. So that'll be on Friday. We'll remind you of that all week long. Uncle T-Bone, you'll be back with me on Wednesday. Then we'll be together on Thursday.
That's right.
I'll be back tomorrow. Double D. Daryl Dapprich will be with us in the second hour as well tomorrow. So looking forward to that. 2 to 4.
Yep.
Right here on ESPN 106.7. Until tomorrow, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.